Will you please turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 3. This evening I'm going to be reading verses 13 through 21. It's page 888 in the Pew Bibles. John 3, 13 through 21. No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. Congregation of Christ, giving has become synonymous with the Christmas season. People everywhere seem to appreciate this time of year when generosity abounds. The Salvation Army has its ringers and kettles to collect money to help the poor. And nonprofit organizations know that this is the time of year when people are often looking to give just a little more. And those organizations are hoping that their cause will benefit from your generosity. Those who aren't generous during this season of the year are usually regarded as Scrooges. The retailers love this season of the year because, well, it gives them a chance to sell more items which can be given as gifts, increasing their bottom line. In fact, our society has started to get away from even using the word giving to describe the outpouring of generosity that occurs at this time of year. The new word that's replaced it is gifting. Our culture loves this season of giving, and so do other cultures, even non-Christian ones, which never knew anything about the real meaning of Christmas. One of the students from China who became a Christian during his course of studies here and became a member of our church once told me that in China, Christmas is the favorite holiday. There's a cultural celebration of Christmas, and it even extends beyond our Western culture, which was influenced by Christianity. And giving is a big part of it. Singing Christmas carols is also part of the cultural celebration of Christmas. In fact, many church planters have discovered that by having a service of Christmas carols, that's a good way to draw people in. People, even secular people, unbelieving people, love to sing the songs of Christmas. Richard Dawkins is a famous atheist. He once sponsored a campaign to place signs on all the buses in London which read, "God probably doesn't exist, so go on and have a good time." Richard Dawkins loves to sing the sacred songs of Christmas. Once somebody asked him, "How can you sing those Christmas hymns when you don't believe in God?" He answered, "I like singing them. It makes me feel good to sing them. Just because I like to sing 'Joy to the World, the Lord is come,' or 'Hark the herald angels sing,' doesn't mean that I have to believe in God. It doesn't mean that anymore than when I sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, I have to believe in Santa Claus or magical reindeer. I sing those songs because it makes me feel good to sing them. Well, you can enjoy being generous and giving to others during this season of the year. And you can take pleasure in singing the sacred Christmas carols, which talk all about the birth of Jesus, and still not be a Christian at all. Those things are not particularly Christian things to do, although Christians, too, may do them. I'm not sure how the tradition of giving gifts at this time of the year came about. Someone once told me that it went all the way back to the Magi who brought their gifts to the Christ child. I don't know whether that's true or not. It seems to me that it would be a hard thing to prove historically. In the Bible, there's no command to give gifts to others in honor of Christ's birth. There's not even a command to celebrate his birth. Although the Bible gives us several accounts of his birth, and there's nothing wrong with preaching on it and celebrating it like we are tonight. Well, our text this evening is not your usual Christmas text. John's gospel doesn't have any birth narratives of Jesus in it, per se. You find those in Matthew's gospel and in Luke. But John, in his gospel, does tell us about the pre-incarnate Word, which took on flesh and dwelt among us. That's where John's gospel begins. And it quickly moves to Jesus' life. Our passage from John 3 talks about Jesus. It refers to him using phrases like the Son of Man and the Son of God, or God's Son, His Son, and the Light. Our text follows our Lord's discussion with Nicodemus about eternal life. And it can be debated, and it has been debated, whether these words in our text are words which Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, or whether they're words which John, the writer of this gospel, provided to explain to us some things about Jesus. But we can understand what the words say, and they're all about our Savior coming to earth. No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Jesus is the Son of Man. He descended from heaven. He came from heaven. Right now, he's in heaven again, having ascended there after his work on earth was done. But heaven is where the Son of Man came from. It says that one day he will be lifted up. But it's not saying that he would be lifted up in the sense of being exalted. The comparison that John uses here is that of the bronze serpent which Moses lifted up on a pole. God provided that bronze serpent for the people of Israel to look upon so that they could be healed from the poisonous snake bites they received due to their disobedience to God. Verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Moses lifted up the bronze serpent so that the people could be healed from their snake bites. You had to look on that bronze serpent on the pole, and you would live. The Son of Man must be lifted up so that we might have eternal life. It isn't by looking at him that we're saved. It's by believing on him. And it says, he must be lifted up. If the Son of Man isn't lifted up, there's no eternal life for sinners. He He came down from heaven so that he might be lifted up on a pole, just like the bronze snake was lifted up on a pole. But his pole would be a cross. And whoever believes on him, whoever puts his or her trust in him, that death on the cross is the only thing that can save and wash away your sins. Whoever believes on him has eternal life. The next verse is probably the most well-known verse in the Bible. If you watch football, sometimes they even have the scripture text in the end zone. John 3:16. I'm going to read it along with verse 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God gave his Son. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. When you hear or read those words from the prophet Isaiah, remember that the birth of Christ always had the cross in view. He was given to die in our place, to make atonement for our sins. God's giving his Son is his greatest expression of love for the world. The world is fallen humanity. The child was born. The Son was given to redeem fallen men and women from Adam's race. He was given that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God gave his Son. He gave him for the sins of the world. There's no greater gift than that. The Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans teaches that God's gift of his Son is so great that we should have absolutely no doubt that he would also graciously give us all the other things we need for life. Listen to this from Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? God gave. He gave his only Son. He gave him so that sinners, through believing on him, might have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world. That's what the birth of Christ is all about. The eternal Word of God, who was always at the Father's side, took on human flesh and was born as a baby. The Son was given. He was given to be born. He was given to die. And he was sent. Why was he sent? He was sent not to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. If the Father had not given the Son and sent him, all humanity would perish. For the children of Adam and Eve would still be under the righteous sentence of God's condemnation with no way of escape. But God gave. He gave his only Son. while we were yet sinners, while we were still rebelling against Him, intent on doing things our own way and saying to Him, no way, even then, God showed His love by giving His Son. Christmas giving isn't about our giving gifts to one another or receiving them. It's not even about the Magi or the wise men giving gifts to Christ. It's about God giving His Son. If you don't receive the gift of God's Son, you remain in the darkness of your sin. And when you stand before God, you'll have to face His righteous sentence against sin. The soul that sins must die. And not just physical death, but eternal separation from all the goodness and grace of God. God gave His Son. And when you receive Him, you receive the gift of eternal life. How do you receive the eternal life for which the Son of God was sent into the world and given? Well, that answer's right in our text. It's there in verse 15. It's there in 16 and in 18. It's by believing in Him. Now, believing in Jesus isn't like believing in UFOs or in leprechauns or in unicorns. Believing in Jesus means putting your trust in Him. It means relying upon Him. Not simply relying upon Him to get you through the troubles that come at you every day. He's not an easy button or a psychological crutch. It's relying on Him to take you as His own and bring you into heaven. Believing on Him means that you know and feel deeply at the core of your being that there's nothing you can ever do to save yourself. You could never be righteous enough to get into heaven. But what He did in coming to earth and dying on the cross was enough. It's your only hope. And so tonight we remember that God gave. God sent His Son into the world. He gave His Son. He gave Him so that we might be saved from our sins and inherit eternal life. And that life comes to you as a gift when you believe on the Son of God. It's not because of your believing on Him. It's because of what He suffered on the cross in your place. But it's through your believing on Him that you receive God's gift of His Son. If you believe on Him, you are no longer under the condemnation of God for your sins. And when you die, He will welcome you into His eternal kingdom. It won't be because you've been good. God doesn't have a list of who's naughty and nice, where He sends the nice ones to heaven and the naughty ones to hell. We're all naughty in His sight. And God isn't like Santa Claus. He saves sinners who believe on His Son, who died in their place to pay for their sins. The light has come. Believe on Him whom God gave. Jesus was given by God that we might be forgiven our sins and have eternal life. Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we get all caught up in giving, in gifts, and so many other things, Lord, at this time of year, which really are beside the point. Lord, you gave your Son. Lord, may we receive him. And may we worship him and rely upon him, trust in him as the only one who can make us right with you. Heavenly Father, we are poor sinners. And apart from what your Son Jesus did, we would all perish. But thank you that you sent Jesus into the world to be our Savior and to die for those who would believe in him. Oh Lord, thank you for sending the light of the world to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.